Welcome to Money Isn't Scary, a podcast for women to explore our fears around money and inspire each other to be financially empowered. I'm Megan Dwyer, and I'm making it my personal mission to remove the taboo around money and help women rewrite their stories so they can stop staying small and begin to live life on their terms. In this show, we get real and uncomfortable as we unpack our beliefs, thoughts, and behaviors that aren't serving us anymore. I can't wait for you to join me on this journey, so let's dive in. Hi, you guys. Welcome to another episode of the Money Isn't Scary podcast. I'm Megan Dwyer. Today is a really powerful episode for me because not only is it super vulnerable, but it gets to the root of a theme for me that has been interwoven into all aspects of my life for the last several decades. And it impacts everything, my relationships, my marriage, my work, my parenting, even this podcast and the work that I'm doing to support all of you. And it's this feeling of victimhood. Why am I bringing this up? Because I've been feeling super fragile lately. We went away with the kids a few weeks ago over their winter break, and that was awesome. But coming back has been like a giant slap in the face. It's like life is just coming at us hard lately. And I feel like I've been in such a depleted state emotionally that the next small thing that happens is just going to completely knock me over. I've been feeling at times powerless, like I'm not in control. The outside world is. And that's just an awful feeling. So the other day, it hit me that I'm the only one to blame for how I feel. I have created this, and by doing so, I have chosen to give up my power. I've allowed myself to become a victim of my circumstances and the people and the happenings in the world around me. I am an extremely sensitive person, and I have a lot of emotions always. I cry when I'm happy, I cry when I'm sad, I cry when I'm angry, I cry when I'm overwhelmed, you name it, I cry. That's just me. That's how I'm wired. And that's totally okay. In fact, it's more than okay. I think it's great. I truly believe that emotions and feelings are an incredible superpower if we slow down and listen to them. Like listen to them, actually feel them like in our bodies, not just our minds, and use them as strengths and tools to help guide us. But lately, I haven't been listening to the feelings. I've been letting the feelings completely drive the bus, and I haven't focused at all on what they're trying to tell me because I tell myself that I'm too busy to deal with that. I've just been at the mercy of my big feelings, and it's like that feather in Forrest Gump, right, at the beginning and the end of the movie that's just floating in the wind, and I don't really know where I'm going to land next. Feeling like a victim has been a common theme throughout my life that has allowed me to stay safe. It has been my coping mechanism of choice when I've struggled through hard times. And by the way, this is a learned behavior. Babies are not born feeling like victims. We learn this through our homes and our social environments as we grow up and get into the real world. And in doing a little bit more research on this, I found it interesting to discover that people who have a victim mentality have often suffered through trauma or hard times, but haven't developed a healthier way to cope. For me, it's a lot of little t trauma, but there's certainly been some bigger moments too, for sure, that I have not fully processed. So it makes sense, right? So as a result, if we're not processing that trauma, we develop an oftentimes negative view of life where we feel like we don't have any control over what happens to us. And because we don't think anything is our fault, we have little or no sense of responsibility for our lives. It just happens to us. If someone tries to help or offer solutions, we often respond with a list of reasons why that solution isn't going to work, right? I do this all the freaking time. I feel like I always have an excuse in my back pocket why someone can't help me when I'm struggling. And I think a lot of people have this mindset. Maybe not all the time, but definitely sometimes. And especially kids, because kids' brains are so underdeveloped. I can't tell you the number of times my 7-year-old son has told me that life isn't fair because his brother got a bigger popsicle or whatever it is. And he believes deep down that he gets the short end of the stick all the time. But the thing is, this victim mindset is so destructive. And it's so destructive because it's addictive. it's like we're attracted to that feeling because, I don't know, we want people to notice us or something. Maybe then, right, we'll get what we want, whether that's love, affection, attention, who knows? Every situation is unique. So I know that this is probably a little bit of a generalization, but I think you guys get the point here. So what I want to do now is give you a list of examples of how this plays out. Like what being the victim in our minds looks like in reality. And this list that I'm going to give you can be applied to any circumstance or situation. And as I talk about this, I want you to understand that if you see yourself in any of these behaviors or mindsets, you are not alone, because I do like every single one of them. The whole point of this is to create self-awareness so we can begin to understand how we relate to a circumstance or situation where we play the victim. So it can look like this: feeling powerless or hopeless, trying to fix. This is a huge one for me. I always describe myself as a doer and a fixer. So we could be trying to fix a situation. We could be trying to fix ourselves. We could be trying to fix our spouses. We could be trying to fix somebody else that's involved in the situation, but we're actively trying to take control over it and make it different. So trying to fix, that's a big one. Reasons and excuses flow easily. These could look like, and I just said it before, I don't have time, I don't have money, I can't get help, I can't afford it, right? Whatever it is. Other ways this plays out is forcing or controlling energy. Again, I'm super guilty of that one, especially around my husband. Seeking advice or looking for rescue. So this is like looking outside of yourself or delegating power to somebody else and then putting the blame on them if it goes wrong. Another way this could play out is there's little joy and satisfaction. So it's almost like things are happening to you versus things are happening for you. And when something good actually does happen, it's perceived as random. And the last I want to mention here is this kind of have to energy. So feeling like there is no choice. It has to be this way. I have to do it this way. And we can't even question it. But the thing is, we do actually have a choice. And when we recognize that we have a choice, it changes the way we relate to what's happening. And that's the biggest point of what I'm talking about today and where I'm going to go next. This is all about our relationship to how we show up for our life circumstances and situations. So thinking about it differently, what does it look like to take radical responsibility versus being the victim? This is, you guys, where we take back control of our emotions. So before we get there, I want to first distinguish between facts and interpretation, because this is really important. Facts are anything that isn't changeable or things that happened in the past. These are what we did, what happened, what someone said, right? All these things that we can't change. Interpretations, on the other hand, also called thoughts or stories, are what we think about those facts. It's the meaning we assign to them. And when we mix these two things up, facts and interpretations, this is when we feel stuck. So let me give you a few examples. One of the life circumstances or facts that always gets me caught up is I just yelled at my kids. So that is the fact, right? The fact is, yep, I yelled at my kids. You can't change that. That happened. My interpretation of that is often, I'm a bad mom, right? Here's another example. The fact is, I made a mistake at work and I said the wrong thing in a client meeting. Fact, that happened. My interpretation of that fact is that I'm stupid and I'm just not good at this. So that's my interpretation, or that is an interpretation. It's not our circumstances or the facts that create our feelings, you guys. It's our interpretation of them. So it's the fact or the circumstance. It's the interpretation or the story that we assign to it. And that interpretation is what causes the feelings and the emotions around it. This is important because we can't change our circumstances. We often think that it's the circumstances that dictate our feelings. Like this situation is what makes me feel this way. But it's not. There's always an interpretation in the middle. And just to confuse things a little bit, right? Oftentimes those interpretations are subconscious, which is why paying attention to how those behaviors and patterns that I just described is so, how those show up in your life is so important. When we see those play out in our day-to-day, those are cues telling us that we need to start digging a little bit deeper. But even just the realization that I have freedom in my interpretation is huge for me. And when we become aware, we're able to open up access to choice. There is always an alternative interpretation and subsequently an alternative feeling. So it's our interpretation of the facts that creates our emotions. Super powerful, you guys, right? Once we recognize that. So how do we put this awareness into action? First things first, in my mind, we need to process our emotions. When we're all up in our feelings and we haven't processed these big emotions, whether they be anger or resentment, which is a big one for me, and I'm guessing for a lot of moms out there, they could be grief or disappointment or anything else. It's literally impossible to do the work of shifting our interpretation. We get stuck in not being able to shift because we're holding on to something. So we have to first take the time to process the emotion. Allow the emotion to be in your body without any restrictions or any judgment. This is big, you guys. This is a physical exercise, not a mental one. I'm actually working right now with a somatic therapist, and she's having me really focus on where I feel the emotions in my body and where I feel a release on the other side of working through them. It's crazy because I've never done this before, which leads me to believe that there's probably a lot of unprocessed emotions stored in my body. It makes sense, right? Why my mom rage comes out when I'm super triggered by my kids or my husband. When we have allowed ourselves to process our big, uncomfortable feelings, we will then have access to things that we haven't before. It's really hard to let go if we're in an escalated state. And when we're aware that we're holding on to something, we then have the choice of letting it go or not, right? So that's super powerful and super empowering in my mind. Then we can reframe our interpretations of the situation. So going back to the examples that I used before, right? Like the example, I just yelled at my kids. That's the fact. My interpretation of that fact was that I'm not a good mom. Now that I'm sort of in a better place and I can see this a little more impartially, right? I could reframe that interpretation too from I'm not a good mom to this is hard. You're doing everything you can. You have a lot on your plate right now and it's all okay. That feels a little different, right? For the other example that I used, I made a mistake at work and I said the wrong thing in a client meeting. My interpretation of the facts before was that I'm stupid and I'm not good at this. But I could reframe that to everyone makes mistakes. It's normal. You are not alone and this is part of the learning process. Again, it just has a different tone to it, has a different feel to it, and the way that we're approaching ourselves is completely different. So once we get here from this place, we get the opportunity to step back and ask ourselves more powerful questions, like looking at the situation, what is my role in this, right? So what is my role in this circumstance or situation? What am I responsible for? What do I want to happen? What are my other options? When we're no longer in the energy of complaining or making excuses, we will have access to create what we need to move forward. This opens us up to see our next step, which we definitely wouldn't be able to if we were blinded by all the constraints of victimhood, right? And the other thing, you guys, is that when we're empowered and we take responsibility for what's going on in our lives, we're better able to have hard conversations and to ask for what we want. We become unattached from how something is going or how something is going to get done, right? And then we're able to trust more. It's really hard to do this work and take responsibility for how we want to feel. it's so much easier to play the victim because there are actually benefits for the person being the victim, right? Like, they don't have to be accountable. They don't have to take on risks. They may even get sympathy or attention, right? All these things keep them safe because they're feeling unsafe. But at the end of the day, we're not going to truly feel good. And you are the only one who has to feel that and sit with that. So for me, I'm done with that feeling and I'm ready to let it go. It once served me, it kept me safe, but it doesn't anymore. So I hope you can join me on this journey of reframing our interpretations of the facts in our lives. This is one of those things that is seemingly very small, but is actually huge as far as our personal growth goes. It's all about how we want to feel. And I am personally sick of feeling like the victim. There is so much amazing life out there to live, and it's all in how we see it. So I am going to take the time out of my busy, everyday, chaotic life and try to slow it down and look at the interpretations versus the facts. And I hope you guys do too. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope you got something out of this episode. And if you did, please share it with me. I would love to hear more from you. So you can shoot me a message, a DM on social media, or you can join my Facebook group, The Mindful Money Mamas, where I have a group of women just like you who are on this journey of self-discovery and working to create a healthy relationship with money. Thank you so much, you guys. I'll talk to you next time.